I want to talk about the parable of the second arrow, which I don't think I've ever given a Dharma talk on, although I know I did a day long on it many years ago. And it's really, I refer to it often, talking about the second arrow, and it's really quite a famous teaching. So, it's kind of very present in our lives all the time, whether we recognize it or not. So I just want to read a little bit about from the sutta, which is called the Salata Sutta. And it says, when touched with a feeling of pain, the ordinary uninstructed person, that means someone who's not instructed in the Dharma, sorrows, grieves, laments, beats his breast, and becomes distraught. So there's this pain that we feel, and then there's the reaction to the pain, which is the lamentation and the being distraught. And so this person feels two pains, just as if you were to shoot a man with an arrow and right afterward shoot him with another one so that he would feel the pain of two arrows. And what this teaching is about is really how we either react or respond to our experiences. And it really ties in with the First Noble Truth, which is there is dukkha, there is discomfort, there is dissatisfaction in this world. There's birth, there's death, there's loss, there's grief, there's suffering, there's all these things. There's the human condition that we experience. And when we are uninstructed, when we're not paying attention, there's often a reactivity of trying to push that away, not feel it, do something about it. And when we do that, that actually serves to intensify the discomfort, which is this what they call the second arrow. So there's the first arrow of being a human being, walking through the world and experiencing life, whatever happens. And then there's the experience of reaction or responding. And when we experience the first arrow, and when we experience the first arrow, there's often, there can be a visceral experience from it. There can be a tight chest or a pretzel in your gut, queasy, whatever it is. But oftentimes we're so disconnected from our bodies, we're not aware of that. I remember when I first became aware of having people say having their belly or their stomach tied up in knots. And it's like, oh yeah, but sometimes it would take a long time to recognize that because we're just kind of reacting to the sensations, whatever it may be. But when we see clearly, then we can stay with it. If not, we launch into the second arrow. And the first arrow can be anything. It can be huge. It can be, you know, the death of a loved one. It can be some tragedy, loss of a job, something, some violence. It can be a feeling. It can be a notion, an emotion. It can be a physical sensation, dissatisfaction. Or it can be simple. And I actually wrote down here, sometimes it's small, like kitten pricks. And I wrote this the other day, and then today my cat scratched my face. It can be that. You want to see? You used my face as a launching pad. So it can be any of those things, big or small, but it's how we react to it. I remember 35 years ago, I was moving into a place and putting clothes in a closet, and the clothes rod broke. And all the clothes were on the floor, and I just curled up into a ball because it felt so overwhelming. And that's the second arrow, this reactivity, this taking on, this anger. What the second arrow shows up with is blame. We blame ourselves, we blame others, or we distract ourselves in some way, we chase pleasure, we get, you know, we get angry, all the reactivity, all the emotions. And those things can show up as a response to an experience. But when we get lost in them and they cause us more discomfort, it's like taking the first arrow. And as the Buddha says in the sutta, we feel the pain of the first arrow and then we shoot ourselves again. Nobody is shooting us. We're shooting ourselves. We don't know where the first arrow came from, whatever it is. So we don't know anything when we're not paying attention. We're trying to fix it. We're trying to mitigate the discomfort of the first, you know, the first noble truth, that there is dukkha in this life, wherever it's from. And all we want to do is make it go away. And Bhikkhu Bodhi says we are averse to pain and we lust for pleasure. And in fact, the sutta says that when it talks about when the person is touched by that painful feeling, he is resistant. And touched by that painful feeling, he delights in sensual pleasure. Why is that? Because the uninstructed, run-of-the-mill person does not discern any escape from painful feeling aside from sensual pleasure. And that is the second noble truth right there. The Buddha said our suffering, our dukkha, is because we're chasing sensual pleasure. And it doesn't necessarily mean sensual pleasure as in sex or being with another person, but wanting it to be good all the time, wanting it to be pleasant all the time, pushing away anything that causes discomfort, trying to chase or fix or change, you know, distract ourselves in some way from what's going on. And we all have created mechanisms in our lives because of our conditioning, because of our situations, because of what we've experienced, ways of dealing and coping with the reality of the world we live in. And many of us were not given tools. We were not taught how to recognize emotions. We're not taught how to touch or be open to the discomforts of the world. You know, sometimes in our families of origin or in our wherever we learn things, we feel things and we're told we're not supposed to feel those things. How many people are told that anger is wrong, anger is bad, or you have a limited amount of time to feel a particular thing? I remember when I did some chaplaincy training many years ago, someone was talking to us and asking us, and I think it was around loss, How were you taught about loss in your family? When something was lost, when perhaps a person died, or you lost something, or whatever it was, how were you taught to deal with it? And that's where we develop our coping mechanisms, whether they're helpful or not helpful. But oftentimes they can be not helpful if we're given, like, you only have 5 days, you're allowed to think about this, or, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, or, you know, don't be a baby, or whatever really painful messages we receive. And we internalize those, and or society tells us. Society tells us a lot of shit. Society tells us we're not worthwhile, we don't look the right way, we don't speak the right way, we don't love the right people, whatever it is. And so we internalize those things and we begin to move into this place of should and have to. And that becomes the second arrow. Oh, I'm feeling this. I'm not supposed to feel this. I'm supposed to feel another way. And it becomes so painful and it can be so debilitating. It can be so harmful. Should is one of those words. I should. I have to. I'm supposed to. Instead of softening with, and how do we work with the second arrow? Mindfulness. Mindfulness underlies so much of this. And these teachings, it's about mindfulness. This cultivating, I've written down here, cultivating a patient, non-reactive, curious, and welcoming attitude towards anything in our experience that seems unpleasant. That's a lot. But that's the way to respond rather than to react, because reaction is often habitual. It's this habitual pattern. Not supposed to feel jealousy. Bad person, if that comes up. Not supposed to feel this. You know? Joseph Goldstein says, we feel it, but we're not fettered by it. We're not trapped by it. Oh, here comes anger. Hi, anger. Have a seat. You're welcome. It makes perfect sense for you to be there. It makes perfect sense for when you see the stuff that's going on in the world today. It makes sense to be enraged. Absolutely. But not to be overcome by it. To let it be there. How can I be with this discomfort? How can I be with this really hard and difficult emotion? And it's only when we're willing to turn towards it and pay attention to it that we can work with it and learn how to be with it. If we're denying it, if we're letting it take over, it can just be that second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. We don't even stop at the second hour, which is what. You know, we can keep shooting ourselves over and over and over again, week after week, day after day with, you know, about the same thing. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Because it didn't work out well. I said one thing, it didn't work out well, and we ruminate on it. That's that second arrow, over and over and over again. Even now, I sometimes cringe over stuff I did a long time ago. But luckily, I can just cringe instead of going into that morbid place that can be so familiar to us. So we want to begin to, what's helpful is to investigate what is a second arrow feels like. What does it feel like, you know, when we start getting into that place? Recognize the first arrow and then recognize the difference in the second arrow. The first arrow is just the human condition, which so many of us push against. And the second arrow is that not allowing that to be there. You know, what's it feel like to be fired or dumped or blamed or accused or be the object of ridicule or hate? What's it feel like to not meet expectations? It can be really painful. Can be really painful, but how do we be tender with that? How do we learn to be intimate with that? And recognize how we shoot ourselves with the second arrow. Are we harsh? Do we distract ourselves? Do we numb ourselves? Do we have go-tos that we use, obsessions that we land on? We can begin to recognize our habitual patterns. Drugs, alcohol, sex, shopping, gambling, work, any of those things, hiding in a closet, you know, we have developed so many mechanisms. We're pushing ourselves harder, more, better, you know, setting more expectations, being harsher on ourselves. So when we recognize those stories, and we recognize when we begin to fall into them, we can come back and say, what's the first arrow? What's underneath this? What's driving this? So there's an investigation. There's a mindfulness which leads to a curiosity, an investigation. What is this? You know, and be willing to let go of that story, that habitual response, habitual reaction. And be willing to say, I don't know, you know, because the habit, the reaction is this idea that we know the way it's supposed to be. And if we can just say, I don't know. What is this? Bringing that curiosity. Right now it's like this. What is this? I love the word papancha, which is a Pali word that means proliferation of thought. And that's what happens when we get into the second arrow. There's the first experience, and then there's the whole story. And this story leads to that, leads to that, leads to that, leads to that, and we're 20 miles away. That's the proliferation of thought. And it's all a fantasy. We're just making it all up. Fabrications of the mind. You know? So when we're willing to be still, and when we're willing to be present, then there's the awakening. We are touched, but we don't succumb. And I'm reminded of Guanyin, who's the Bodhisattva of compassion, and she hears the cries of the world, but she's not overcome by them. She's open. She can hold sorrow and still have equanimity. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who has always been a gym rat and loves to work out, has had a trainer for years, just really, really is that person, loves that. And they were saying that recently they've lost their motivation. And it's really, and so what they're doing is they're beating themselves up over it. You should be doing this. You should. And getting lost in that cycle of what's wrong with you, blah, 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 blah. You're not doing what you've always done, blah, 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 blah. Which is, and I was saying, maybe things are changing. Because, Anicca, things are always changing. There's always impermanence. And just because we've done something for a really long time doesn't mean we're going to continue always doing that. And so we have to allow ourselves to change and shift. And they were just beating themselves, shooting themselves with the second arrow. You're terrible. What's wrong with you? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, can you be gentle and just say, oh, look at this. What is this? What's going on here? What's this experience now? We can use this everywhere. I really firmly believe that if you're lost in judging yourself and being harsh with yourself, that is not the wise way to be. We can hold ourselves accountable, absolutely, but we can do it wisely. This is where wise speech comes in. If you know the teaching on wise speech, we're kind, when we're talking to others, we tell the truth, we're kind in how we say it, we do it at the right time, we do it if it's necessary, and we have a kind intention. It holds true for how we talk to ourselves. We get to talk to ourselves kindly. We can tell ourselves the truth. We can be honest with ourselves and say, yeah, I was really unskillful. I caused some harm. But we don't have to drag it around and replay it and smack ourselves in the head. That doesn't serve any purpose. So there's a kindness in there. There's an accountability, but there's a kindness in there. And there's a willingness to turn towards the discomfort of it. I was talking to my friend Sydney, and I are teaching a women's retreat in the end of May, and we were talking to the folks at Big Bear Retreat Center, which is where it's going to be, and the person at Big Bear was asking us about the Dharma and what we're teaching, etc. And my co-teacher Sydney was reminding me of the teaching, the lens that I see the world through, which is living with an undefended heart, which means being fully open and willing to be intimate with our experience. To say hello to that arrow, that first arrow, but not pick up the second arrow. Because the first arrow and an undefended heart is a compassionate heart. It's a wise heart, it sees clearly, and it's also incredibly compassionate. So one of the things we can do when we do get struck by that arrow, when we do experience the human condition, the first noble truth, is to be compassionate, to see how we suffer from the reality of being a human being, and maybe offer ourselves some compassion. May you be held, may I be held with compassion. May my pain and suffering ease. May my heart be at peace. We offer ourselves some gentleness, some kindness, not some you better, you shoulda, you oughta, why didn't you, blah, 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 insert your favorite nasty word in there. My word was dumbass for me. That's what I called myself. I call myself by my last name, and I call myself a dumbass. So I don't do that anymore, because there's a kindness, there's a compassion, there's a recognition of our humanity. That's the teaching of this. The Buddha was a human being. He wasn't a deity. He found liberation as a human being, not as some super duper, superhero in a cape and tights. No. So I invite you to see how you suffer from the second arrow. Where do you shoot yourself? What are those habitual stories, habitual patterns? That's, it can take a long time. It's a challenging unraveling because we've been stuck in them for so long. And it's like, what do we do if we don't do that? It seems very strange when we begin to let go of these things. But I invite you to, I remember what just popped into my head is the quote that I learned from Sylvia Boorstein. She has it in one of her books. She said, "Life is so difficult. How can we be anything but kind? Life on its own is difficult. We don't have to make it more difficult by how we react to it. When we can be kind and wise and compassionate, we're able to get through a little bit more easily without intensifying the discomfort." So thank you so much, my friends, for your very, very, very kind attention. And I hope this has been of some benefit. Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma. These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavage.org/support. Thank you.